School's out for the summer, but it's not too early to give your child the edge for the 2017-2018 school year. Our tutoring program for reading, writing, and math for grades kindergarten through 10th grade will be held on August 1st, 3rd, 8th, 10th, 15th, and 17th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. To register your child, contact Community Outreach Coordinator Stephanie DaCosta at 215-885-2585, extension 304.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
I'm going to send you into captivity. Verse 2, build houses and settle down. Go down to verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed, I'm going to come and bring you back to Jerusalem. Watch now. I'm going to come after 70 years and bring you back to Jerusalem. There's that seven concept. What is 70? Seven times 10. Two perfect numbers. Seven is completion. 10 is perfection and government. So God is saying, when I complete you in understanding my government, that I'm in charge, that you can trust me. When you become completed in your trust for me, then I'm going to come get you. What is he saying? That until you learn that I know what I'm doing, you staying in captivity. Until you learn that I have good thoughts, you staying in that situation. But watch, because this is the heart and the nature of God. When you're in that place, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have grandchildren for you. Listen to this. Increase in your number there. Do not decrease. Does this sound like you're in captivity? Now, listen carefully. God promised to put them in captivity, but he said nothing about the captivity being in you. You don't have to become what you behold. Just because you're surrounded by sickness doesn't mean you have to get sick. Just because you're surrounded by poverty doesn't mean you have to become impoverished. If you read this passage, God says when you get in captivity, do better. Get married. Buy some houses. Invest. Reach out. Expand. Say expand. Lord, help me. Expand. There were more businesses started in this country during the Great Depression than at any time in the history of this great land. Why? There were a few people who understand that in Chinese, the word for a danger is two characters. One is opportunity, and the other is for what we would say danger. And what they're saying is that there is always an opportunity in dangerous times. When you understand the economy of God, you will recognize that he uses bad stuff to bring you to positive ends. If you can master the bad, he says, and seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Now listen to me very carefully. You're a born-again Christian. You should not criticize President Trump. The world should do that, but not you and I. Watch. Why? Because we know he's only there because of God. Oh, Lord. I just pushed you way out of the box. Watch now. Based on this passage, Donald Trump is going to be our blessing. Based on this passage. Based on this passage. God is going to use that man to make you prosperous based on this passage. He cannot harm me Because when God let him get elected, he had a plan for my success. When God let him get to the White House, he had a plan to bring me to a greater house. When God let him become the commander-in-chief, he had a plan to bring me to the promised land. And so I pray that God would put his hand on that man. Now, I know a lot of you are having a struggle with what I'm saying, but I'm speaking to Christians. Not black Latin nationalists. We need to pull them down. No, you need to pray them up. If we pray, Lord, help me. If we pray, God can touch that man's heart at night. He'll wake up in the morning and say, I'm calling a press conference. There is no God but Jesus. Jesus is Lord. They said, Mr. President, what are you talking about? I had a revelation last night. Somebody's been praying for me. And like Paul in the book of Acts, Jesus came into the White House, slapped me down on the floor, and said, go and proclaim that I am the Lord. Can you imagine what would happen to the powers of darkness if the President of the United States said, Jesus Christ is Lord? I'm telling you, the whole economy will turn around. We will have full employment. We will have healing of all diseases. When a nation turns to God, they get his blessings. That's Bible. Do you know what happens when you turn to God? Let me. Watch this. He says, now. He said, pray for the city that I've carried you into exile. He said, pray to the Lord for it. Listen carefully. Because if it prospers, you prosper. Pray for your companies that God would give them contracts. Pray for your government that God would give the leaders righteous hearts. See, while the Democrats are fighting the Republicans, no policy is being legislated. Poor people are still being hurt. We need to pray that they stop acting like kindergarten children and sit down and handle. We need to pray that God touches their hearts. Stop talking about them and start talking to God for them. God said in Ezekiel, I looked throughout the whole land trying to find somebody to stand in the gap. Do I have any gap standers? He said, and make up the hedge. Do I have any hedge maker uppers? He says, so I don't have to send judgment into the land. I know the world is wicked, that sin is running rampant, but it's up to us to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and call on God. This is what the Lord says. He said, pray for that city. Now, when you're going through, there's always somebody who tries to find a judgmental reason why you're going through. In 1992, I had a car accident, rather serious car accident. My first brand new car off the showroom floor. Got it in August. It was totaled in September. Kid ran into the back of me. At least he was driving a BMW. If you're going to go out with style. Just ran into the back of me. Tore up my car. Over $30,000 worth of damage. Tore up my car. I was talking to someone about the accident. And the first words they said to me, well, where were you going? Now, does that matter, Ernie? Not really. Where was you going? Well, I wasn't my normal impish self because I was still, you know, trying to get my mind around the fact that I went from a Lincoln Continental to a Taurus. That's what the rental was. And I said to them, well, I was just going up to the target range. Sister Lambert and I, we were going up to just go to the target range out in 202. It wasn't a sin. He went, well, what was you going? What'd you have on the radio? I said, I had my Ron Canole on. I was singing praise music. Oh, okay. Then it was just the devil out to get you. Now, if I had said I was going to the club and I had Isaac Hayes on the box, then it would have been my fault. But see, Christian, stuff happens that you don't have anything to do with. As holy as I live, last week I met principalities that said, we're killing you today. I hadn't done anything, but I needed a word from the Lord. I needed a Jeremiah word. I have plans for you. I was laying on the gurney saying, take it back. Take the plans back. I don't want the plans. I don't want to, you know, forget these plans. I'll stay with basic math. Don't put me in this AP calculus class. Because Jeremiah says, I have stuff that I want you to do. What do you want me to do, God? Number one, trust me. You already believed unto salvation, but now trust me. Trust that while you're in that condition, I'll bring you out. Trust that while you are going through the difficult time, that I have not abandoned you. I love this in verse 8. Don't listen to the prophets and diviners that are among you, and don't listen to their dreams that you encourage them to have. Now, here's what that means. Don't let people try to blame you for what you're going through. And don't try to go to them and find out what you did wrong. There's one thing in saying, I want to know what God is saying. That's fine. But don't go and say, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? Why am I going through this? Come on, you got to give me a good word. No. God said, don't listen to people who try to tell you that what you're going through is not of me. The only reason why you're in it is because of me. You can't call God sovereign and then pick and choose what he uses. Can he control? He's in control of everything. Does he opt to use that control? No. Sometimes he just lets things happen by natural evolution. It's like people come together, you know, two unmarried people come together and they become physically intimate. And the woman is afraid that she's pregnant. After they're done, she says, Lord, don't let me be pregnant. And God is sitting up in heaven saying, I'm a healer, but I'm no abortionist. Now, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to stop you. How does that happen? How? He created the sperm to hit the egg. He didn't create it. Listen. He didn't create it for married people. He created it for man and woman. So if you're not married and you come together and sperm is released, you don't go to God and say, Lord, I don't want to be pregnant. Then you should have thought of that before you did that. I'm not going to violate. And then, watch this. Then if it didn't happen, because it's not easy to get that way. And then if it didn't happen, you go, whew, thank you, Jesus. And he's sitting there and saying, I ain't had nothing to do with it. You just weren't ovulating. Because had you waited 3 more days, I'd be a godfather. But see, we're notorious for calling on God to bail us out of decisions that we should not have made. God does not violate His word. What goes up? So I take a ball, right? And I stand under the ball and I throw it up. And I just stand there and I don't try to catch it. And it popped me right in my head. And I go, the devil is a lie. God said, no. If you read your history, I told Isaac Newton that there was a theory called gravity. We think that being a Christian exonerates us from responsibility. You date 3 and 4 people. One of them cuts your tires. You can't bind the devil and call God. You have to stand up and say, I have a fatal attraction. I need help. I'm taking out a restraining order. It's like the Lord brought the scripture to my mind. When the men brought the woman to Jesus, the Bible said they brought this woman, and the scripture said she was taken in adultery in the very act. I don't know how vivid your imagination is. It says in the very act. Now, we understand that in those particular kibbutz, in the community, the tents are very close to each other. So it is possible to hear another person, you know, in flagre delicto. And so you can hear that. So apparently these guys, in their pursuit to do something non-biblical, they were spying on this tent jumper. Because it's, you know, she probably went from tent to tent and her clientele was mostly married men. So they brought her to Jesus. And the very interesting thing is that they didn't have a man. They said she was taken in the very act, but they didn't bring a man. I think that every one of them in that group had that woman. And I think the one she was with was in that group. So Jesus said, I am notoriously fair. So he said, you guys are right. She was taken in the act. And the law says she should be stoned. I support it. Stone her. So they each picked up a stone. He said, now, let those of you who have never been with her. Now, I know the Bible says he that is without sin, but this is Eric. Let those of you that have never been with her cast the first stone. The Bible said from the eldest to the youngest, they all walked away. And Jesus said, he looked at the woman and said, where are your accusers? She said, I don't have any. He said, then I'm not accusing you. Go and don't do it anymore. There are consequences for our actions. And God cannot support them. We have the same issue in our churches today. We have men that come through our churches, and as Paul says to Timothy, they lead silly women captive. It's a specific type of a woman. He said, a silly woman. What's a silly woman? Number one, a silly woman is a woman who has no self-respect. Number two, a silly woman is one who has no honor for herself. She'll sleep with anybody just because she needs a pick-me-up at the moment. She's not looking for the long-term relationship. She's looking for the immediacy of gratification. She's a silly woman because she gives herself to any old body. So that man locks in on her. Then you become upset when the man walks away. He promised you a life. He took it back after he was done. Now you're angry with him. But he could not have done anything if you didn't let him. There are consequences. And in Jeremiah 29, what God is trying to do is steer you away from making the mistakes that bring you negative consequences. No matter how you slice it, no matter how evolved you think you are, no matter how liberated you are, children need two parents. Because the Bible says that like reproduces after its kind. And a man, a woman cannot raise a man. She can raise a son. But at a certain point, she's done. And so what happens is we're seeing so many young boys become men out in the street. that mama can't contain them. So now she's forced to beat them bloody, but that don't change the alpha male inside of them. And now the penal system, full of men, has to work on them. Why? Because God had an order. Now, I'm not saying that things don't happen, but in a perfect world, the child will have the benefit of both. But we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world full of flaws. So God will use the flawed world to even make you better. Especially in our community, over 72% of our children were raised in single-parent homes. And you still turned out okay. Tell somebody, that's God. God said, don't listen to people who bring you prophecies that are not in line with my will. There are some things you're going to have to go through. There are some things you will never escape. Never. And don't let people bring you words to tell you. Here you've stolen something at the job. Your house is filled with pens and pencils and letterhead from the job. And they call you in and fire you because it's now on the camera. It's not like it was 20 years ago. You can't get away with anything. There's GPS. You can't even cheat on your spouse anymore. They got GPS. You can go right on to Apple. My wife asked me to pick her up from some procedure, and in her haste and anxiety, she didn't tell me the exact address. And I'm a pragmatic person. I need specifics. And so her friend, her play sister, took her to the place, and I was tasked to come and pick her up. But I didn't panic like I would have, you know, a few years ago. I just went on the iPhone and put up Find My iPhone, and it took me right to where she was. She has that on hers for me. Because I get home, and she'll say, oh, you at Best Buy, huh? Because she'll say, what'd you buy? Nothing. You kind of feel like Gehazi and Elijah. Wherever you went, my heart wasn't with you. And so you can't get away with anything today. I mean, there's cameras that you can't even see. We got cameras in this church. We had to get cameras because people say, you know, that something happened. And ain't nothing happened. Lady called us up and called our insurance company and said she fell out on the pavement and got hurt. Not a member of Bethel, just fell out. And we pulled up the tape from the day she did it. She wasn't even there. I'm so glad we have that tape in the system. I'm so glad. We got it when you walk in. We know who you are. We know who you are. Only place we don't have them is the restroom. But they in here. We see who's giving. I play that tape before the Lord. And that's how God is. He knows your heart. You can't get away with anything. He has a plan. And people don't want God to have a plan. They don't want God to run their lives. They don't want God to be in charge. They want to do things their own way. In the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar looks out. He stands on the balcony of his palatial home, and he looks at Babylon, and he says, I built all this. And notice what he says. He says, I built it up for me. Now, when Habakkuk looks at the same situation, Habakkuk tells God that this land called Babylon is filled with injustice and ungodliness. He said, how long are you going to put up with this? And the Bible says God never answers Habakkuk. He never tells him that these people are rotten. He just says, look at me. I'm letting it go on, but something's about to break. And I'm telling all of you here this morning that don't look at America and lose your hope. Something is about to break. Something's about to break in your life because you have a promise from the prophet Joel. I'm going to restore all that the locust and the caterpillar and the palmer worm have taken away. I'm going to restore your health. I'm going to restore your finance. I'm going to restore your family relationships. So you're in the now right now. You're hurting. You're crying. But look to the future. God said, I'm giving you a promise for peace. It's coming. You're going through. You're hurting. You're crying, but let those tears be fertilizer for your blessing. Let me finish. Woo! I didn't preach myself happy. Listen. Woo, glory. Let me have another hit. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Whoa! Ah, yababo shakatalabosita. In the book of Joel, it starts off by telling us that Joel was commanded to go and tell everybody that God is sending a judgment against your ecology. Now, an ecological judgment is the second most severe, judgment. If God can't reach you through an ecological judgment, then the next judgment is he takes you out of the land. If he can't reach you by judging the land, then he takes you out and puts you into bondage. And so he says, you go and you tell everybody, I'm hitting the land. I'm sending my great army. It is the four developmental stages of the locust. I'm sending the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the canker worm. And what the locust don't eat, the palmer worm is going to eat. What the palmer worm doesn't eat, the canker worm is going to eat. What the canker worm doesn't eat, they're all just going to keep going until nothing is left. All the vegetation, the grapes, the olives, the wheat, everything, it's gone. I'm going to judge you. Why? Because of the sin in your lives. The unrepentant sin. And God sends those locusts to come through and they buzz and they eat everything. And the people of God turn to God. That's the purpose of judgment. The purpose of judgment is not to send you to hell. It's to get your attention to turn to God. And the people turn to God, just like they did in Nineveh. They turn to God. And listen to what the Lord says to them in Joel chapter 2. Be glad then, verse 23, you children of Zion, and rejoice. Say rejoice. The verb to rejoice is a very demonstrative verb. It doesn't mean to sit there and just go, thank you, Jesus, thank you. No, it means to dance. It means to have a party. It means to look at your negative situation and use it for fuel for your present worship. It means that you will not allow it to change your mindset about God, that the negative that you're going through will not remove the positive blessing that's down the road. Hallelujah! If you notice the passage and notice the specific language, it says, be glad. That's an attitudinal adjustment. Stop whining. I never in my life could have imagined that America would become so addicted to pain medication. It is such a problem right now that Congress is even trying to get some companies to stop producing certain pain medication. We never thought that opioids would become such a problem. But people are looking for ways out. You know, you're supposed to get a colonoscopy when you turn 50 So I guess I'm going to be getting mine in 20 years. And I remember when I got my colonoscopy, my first one, and they give you an anesthetic to put you to sleep. Lord have mercy. Holy Lord have mercy. Man. Anesthesiologist said, now, Mr. Lambert, we want you to count from 100 backwards. I said, 99. I was talking to angels. I saw Jesus. And he was walking around with a mask and gloves and a tool to check the colon. And he told me it was going to be all right. They were waking me up sometime later. And the doctor said, everything's good. You see in 10 years. I said, all right. I said, let me ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, can I take some of that home? He said, no. I said, look, you don't understand. See, again, this is where I'm trying to get people. People that are not pragmatic, y'all don't understand. I said, you don't understand. I pastor a church. I need to leave the church and do this. He said, no, Mr. Lambert, we can't give you that. Oh, Lord have mercy. There's nothing like it. I thought to myself, maybe if I go down Columbia Avenue, Pookie can sell me some. Hey, brother, you want some of this? I figure I can get it from Columbia Avenue or Broad and Olney. You get everything from Broad and Olney. Then I tried Amazon.com. I put in... It didn't come up. That's the only thing they don't sell. But all over the world, we're trying to escape the reality of heartbreak and disappointment. Well, God said, here's how you do it. Rejoice. When you read this passage in the Hebrew, the concept that he's trying to develop is pay no attention to your surroundings. Rejoice because of where you're going. Now, I'm talking to some of you older baby boomers. You remember how you used to stand online at the show? Didn't matter how long you waited, because the goal was to get into the show. And when you got in, it was a continuation of what you were feeling on the outside. You weren't letting rain, crowds, or nobody. Even if you had to go to the bathroom, you held it. Because you didn't want to what? Lose your place in line. Well, you got to tell the devil, I've been walking with God all this time. I ain't losing my place in line over some trial that I'm going through right now. That God and I have been having praise sessions, and I'm not losing my place in line over some temporary pain. This is when you shift. This is when you shift to Diana Ross. And when you're in the midst, you tell the devil, I'm coming out. I want the world to know. I gotta let it show. I'm coming. This is when you tell the devil, through my praise, through my worship, through my joy, I'm letting you know I'm coming out. I'm not staying in this. I'm coming out. God had a plan not to defeat me, not to hurt me, not to bring me down. I'm coming out. So here's what he says in Joel. He said, be glad then. Tell somebody, be glad. Be glad. Wipe that frown off your face. Be glad. Be glad. When I'm going through, I don't want to be around deep people. I want to be around glad people. Be glad. Thank you. He says, you be glad. And then he throws the verb in, rejoice. When the Bible demands rejoicing, it's always connected or equivalent to the halal praise. The halal praise is the root of hallelujah. People said that's the highest praise. I don't necessarily agree with that, but we won't argue the semantics. What we will say is that hallelujah is a compound word. It's made up of halal, praise, then hallelujah, the Lord. Because Yah is Yahweh. So praise ye the Lord. Now, what does it mean? It doesn't mean to go, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No. That's not praise. See, that's just kind of Tehillah praise. Tehillah praise is just singing a hymn and giving him, you know, just some wave. And then you have Shabbat, and that's the waving of the hands. But halal is when you go nuts. Halal is when you need an usher to hold you. Halal is when you offend people. Halal is when people say, you too loud. Halal is when they say, you need to get somewhere and sit down. But the only people that halal are people that have come out and people that are on the way out. They know what they're doing. They know this thing ain't going to last. They know that I'm coming out of this. Halal praise. Thanks God for what he's done. It says, God, hey! Yeah. Since God is a God of order and purpose, there has to be a reason why he wants you to give him halal. He doesn't want you just to give halal praise without a specific reason. Because when you give halal praise without a specific reason, the devil comes in and steals it. You need something to focus on. And God is a 2020 God. He needs something to focus on with clarity. So what does it say? It says, for he has given you the former rain moderately. That means that in your past, he blessed you a little bit. Y'all don't hear me. Lord. That means even when you were not saved, he gave you a little bit of rain. He has caused good stuff to happen even when we were not good people. Even while you were drunk, he brought you home. When you were in the street, he put a roof over your head. When you were homeless, he kept you from getting robbed. God ordered your steps. He gave you rain moderately. But now watch this. Watch this. He said, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, all in the same month. In other words, you were waiting for God to bless you seasonally. He said, but now because you've rejoiced, you're getting it all together. You're going to get your healing and your restoration. He's not just going to heal you, but he's going to give it all back to you. I'm telling you today that your medical reports are changing even as we speak. Our God is God. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Whoa! All right, I just heard God say something. He said, tell the people who they ask is who they trust. You ever have a need and go to a human to meet that need? It's because you don't trust God. You actually think that God operates in chronos time. When he doesn't, he operates in eternity. We operate in chronos, chronological clock time, and kairos, which is seasonal time. Now, you can have a chronos in your kairos, but when it comes to God, he operates in eternity, which means he does not have your limits. And just because you're at the 12th hour doesn't mean that God is. You reach out to a person and you say, I need help with this right now. God says, why didn't you ask me? Because I'm not going to answer right now. But you got to give me time. That's another sermon. That's another sermon. Here's what he says. I'm going to give you all this in the first month. And look at what he says. Now, he's speaking to people who have been without vegetation for years. Listen to what he says. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. He said the floor is going to be full of wheat. That's your life. God is saying, I'm going to fix your life so you're going to have so much. Now, watch how it pulls together. God said in Deuteronomy, you're supposed to be a lender. Yeah. Too many of you are borrowers. Why? Because you don't have enough. God said, I'm going to give you so much till you can become a lender. Yeah. Am I talking to people that believe? Yeah. God's trying to get you over there. You're in the now. The now is painful. The now is harsh. The now seems to have no development. But I'm trying to get you over there to the position of prosperity. Your life is going to be full. Your vats are going to overflow. And listen to what he says. Here it comes. And I will restore. How long did they go without vegetation? Years. Because he says, I'm going to restore to you the years. How many of you, the locusts have taken away your years? The locusts of sickness, the locusts of poverty, the locusts of despair. God says, I'm going to restore it. Like the woman with the issue of blood, he says, I'm giving you back your health. And it's starting today. My God, it's starting today.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6317A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Join your Bethel family for a special deliverance service on Sunday, August 13th at 6 o'clock p.m. here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. If you desire to be set free, come out to this service.